the Women's Refugee Commission's Land Tour. We're delighted you came out tonight. Now's the time to silence your cell phones, and we remind you to please wear your masks while in the auditorium. And now, we are pleased to welcome to the stage 14-time Grammy Award winner, Miss Emmy Lou Harris.
Particular artist, and he's here tonight. Please welcome my captain, Steve Earle. Thank you. So let me introduce everybody that are going to come out here. This is going to be our last Lanyard show of 2021, but we're glad to have even been able to do it because we weren't able to do it last year. So please welcome the wonderful Amy Helm. One of the things I love about these shows is I've been able to meet some artists that I hadn't met before or really heard before, and that's the case tonight with this next wonderful, extraordinary artist, Gabby Marino. Yeah. And joining us again from the tour that we did in 2020, it's so great to have her back with us. Please welcome Tao. Set is the fabulous duo of Teresa Williams and Larry Campbell. Teresa and I talked about what we should do to open the show, and this is a particular favorite of us, of the three of us, because we're big Lubin Brothers fans, and this is a song that actually hit the charts for me in 1975, and we're going to give it a thank you.
1974, I guess it was, I was traveling to the West Coast and ended up way late in Austin, Texas for a little while, and I went to the Armadillo World Headquarters to see Commander Cody. And opening the show was this incredibly dynamic, fantastic woman named Emmylou Harris. So I was born and raised in New York City, and I had this, at the time, everybody was into, all the English rock bands and everything going on like that, and I wanted to play country music, But you had to kind of be cool in New York around the musicians if you mentioned the Louvin Brothers or George Jones or Hank Williams or something like that, because, people would look at you, what? So I heard Emmylou do that song, If I Could Only Win Your Love, and that gave me license to go down that Louvin Brothers path, and because she did it so well, and she made it relevant to musicians of our era, So fast forward, in the 80s, I'm back in New York playing a band with Buddy and Julie Miller, and Julie leaves the band, and we had to get somebody quick to replace her, and Buddy knew this woman in California at the time who really wasn't doing anything, and he called her up, she came to New York, and that was how Sean Colvin got to New York City.
Small incestuous circle, my friend.
So Buddy and Sean would sing this Louvin Brothers tune while I was in the band. I was playing pedal steel at the time, and it was great. I loved it, and I kept thinking to myself, one of these days I'm going to get me a pretty girl, and I'm going to sing this song, and that's why I married Teresa. So, Emmylou's fault that I married Teresa.
I take the blame.
He courted me with a Louvin Brothers mixtape.
So romantic.
It was romantic if you're from Peckerwood Point.
Maybe help us out here.
honor to be here on the stage with everybody.
Welcome, Amy Helm.
I wrote this next song with the wonderful Mary Gauthier, and this song is it's a part of my story, and it's about growing up watching everybody around you really struggling with the disease of addiction, and it's about being little and finding your way through that. And I've seen a lot of people lose their lives to drugs and alcohol, and I've also seen a lot of people rise up from it and regain their lives and redefine themselves and live in the light. So I sing this, yeah. Not clap for that. So I'm singing this song in the spirit of possibility and recovery. This is called Cotton and King.
Break down. Yes, the poetry of the poor.
big dream of making music. And I have to finish myself every time I come to So I'm going to do a song I wrote a few years ago called Fronteras, which means borders. And a song that I wrote just as an observation. An observation to like Latin American people living here in the United States and how we are sort of, stuck, but like, you know, in between these two worlds, right? Like we're keeping our traditions, we're learning new ones, and we're proud of where we come from. And I think just deep down, it's just a song about a celebration of diversity.
Hay un camino que nos trajo hasta aquí. No conoce las fronteras, esta pasión dentro de mí. Es anhelo el que me empuja. Cada nuevo amanecer con mis temores, ilusiones y los restos de allí.
Let's see. Chummy Pelmore. Some of my daddy was daddy before. Holly was talking out of my head. Only come a ten about twice a year. Buy all the pennies and some copper mine.
And there was one artist that was very involved with us for so many of those shows, Nancy Griffith. Nancy passed away a few weeks ago, and we miss her so much. She was just such an incredible, well, first of all, she was a great singer, a great songwriter, and but was always willing to step up and give her gifts for a good cause that she believed in. That she believed passionately about, and I know that she would have joined us on these shows. But I was lucky enough to get to know her and hang with her and have tea with her. And sing with her. This particular song, I want to do this kind of just in her memory and in celebration of her, but also just because it's such a beautiful song. It's one of my favorite of hers. I remember the first time I heard it. It was on the. I love it when you first hear a song that is going to become important to you, and you hear it on the radio because you're not expecting it, right? The first time you hear it, there's something so wonderful about that. And I think that I did pull over to the side of the road so I wouldn't be distracted. And so I'm going to ask Larry and Teresa to help me with this song of Nancy Griffin.
Refugees of war, and I hold issues of helping people resettle their lives with dignity very closely. And in 2015, I was invited to go to Vietnam for the first time. I was born and raised in Falls Church, Virginia, and it was an opportunity for me to bring my mom back. I was asked to perform there with my band, and I begged her to come with me. It took a lot of negotiating. It took hanging up on her a few times. She was so reticent to return because of so much sorrow and grief and things that she'd never spoken directly about with me. And I finally convinced her to return with me, and she hadn't been back in 43 years. And it was so deeply intense. And she always talked about her life before the war, but never about her life during the war. And in one very rare moment of candor, she said, "You have to learn for yourself what it means to be free. You have to learn why a million people would risk their lives at sea to be free." Upon my return, I didn't think about that trip for a long time because I like to avoid emotionally difficult things. But I did eventually write this song, Temple, and it's in my mom's voice as she's speaking to me.
Small.
first song that I wrote for Teresa to sing many, many years ago. Now, Teresa thinks everything I write is about her.
Total narcissist.
This one isn't, and I'm happy to say that it isn't. This is called...
Don't Dig a Hole Deeper.
This is called Did You Love Me At All?
Silent. think your dad's on it. Oh, no, he used to sing that with us live.
I wanted to sing a song. Well, I chose this song because my dad taught it to me, and because I haven't seen a lot of these folks in a long time.
I'm just saying, you know that her dad is Levon Helm. And it's not because the wonderful incestuousness, because you know, Larry produced Olabel. And was on in the group Lolabel, and I just have to say this, you know, I have the music on my little phone and the iPods and all stuff at night, you know, I would turn on and listen to it, and you don't remember all that you put on there, and every time I would hear something that would be so great that I'd have to say, what is that? And I would have to go and look, and it would be Lolabel. Anyways, sorry to interrupt, but
no,
and I love you guys, so.
We love you.
And isn't this great? What a way to make a living, right?
So this song is just in the spirit of the Midnight Ramble in Woodstock, New York. Bring a little energy to the show. Thank you.
Spangled, that was a collaboration with the amazing Van Dyke Parks. He and I started, yes, please give it up for Van Dyke, national treasure. He and I started talking about this project almost like 10 years ago, and we wanted to do songs from different parts of Latin America, of course, with his arrangements, and we had a good batch of songs, and then and he said, you know what, we need to do a song in English that kind of ties it all up. And he introduced to me the song called Across the Borderline, which was written by Ry Cooder, Chuck Hyatt, and Jim Dickinson in the 80s for the movie The Border with Jack Nicholson. Amazing song. I don't know how that was, like, off my radar. But we recorded it. I sang it. I got to sing it as a duet with Jackson Browne. And of course, the version of this album is totally different because it's with like an orchestra. It's really beautiful. But now we're gonna do the nice little acoustic version. All right, it goes like this. Thank you.
este río que nos llama más allá.
If you haven't seen that film, The Border, it's really amazing. And that song on the soundtrack is great, but my dear, your version. It takes it to a whole other level.
We want to thank you for coming out tonight. Support the Women's Refugee Commission. They do great work all over the world with refugees and displaced people. What threw us into this issue in the first place was they were the first people into those camps on the U.S. border, and they worked to stop the separation of families here in the first place. They are now and always have fought for the rights of women and girls in Afghanistan and will continue to do so. You're already supporting the WRC by coming out here tonight, but there are other ways you can do that. There's cards out there that tell you how you can donate. You can scan them, and you can just go online and the Women's Refugee Commission. And you can buy our stuff. We have stuff out there. And two kinds of posters out there. There's one that pretty much anybody can afford that the unsigned was. The artwork is by my friend Tony Fitzpatrick, who signed on to do this the first year that we did this. And this tour is actually named after the piece that he made specifically for this. That's why it's called the Lantern Tour. And he's a great big guy from the south side of Chicago that kind of paints like God. And he's just one of my best friends, and we appreciate him contributing the artwork for this. And there are sign posters that we've all signed out there available too for a little more money if you want to pony that up. So thank you so much for coming out. Really appreciate it. So, I had to kind of start my life all over again about 27 years ago, as of last September 13th, and one of the first things that happened is I wanted to make some kind of record when I got out, and I had some old songs and a few new ones that I'd written, and I'd always wanted to make an acoustic record, mainly because Emmy made a record called Roses in the Snow in 1980 that I wanted to make that. So I called my friend. My connection to that music was always Peter Rowan, because I'd known him since I was a teenager. And we put together a pretty good band. It was me, Peter Rowan, Roy Husky Jr., and Norman Blake. And about Trina coming. And we needed Emmy to come in and sing on some stuff, and she did. And then when the record was finished, Roy's wife, Lisa Husky, brought a copy of the mixes to Emmy, and she found a song, and she was in the process of making record ball at the time. So she and Daniel Lemoy decided that they were going to invite myself, Lucinda Williams, and a few other people that had written songs around the road to come, and the idea was for us to come and play on the songs that we'd written originally. I ended up staying around and playing on the rest of the record, and I celebrated my 40th birthday recording Emmy's version of this song. And we've sung it together a lot. We sing it in two different keys depending on whose show it is. Not at the same time.
Can't remember if
just to. Say Maple Burn, coming back and forth, making tea and tuning instruments and carrying people's equipment and doing all that. And the person who probably put all this together wrote these notes and everything, but didn't put her name down. But this whole thing was the brainchild of Gail Griffith. She doesn't want me to say that. Really, she, my dear friend Gail Griffith, who sometimes her, she and maybe a couple of her friends were the only people in the audience at Clyde's in Georgetown, Washington, D.C. in the 70s to hear me sing. So we go back that far. And she was the one who asked me to get involved with the Campaign for a Landmine-Free World that brought Steve into it and Nancy and so many others, and has always been out there trying to shine a light and raise awareness and money for things that just need to be taken care of, bringing people together. She's one of my heroes, Gail. She probably won't stand up and reveal herself, but she's the one who really put the land in. It's her idea.
She put my sister Stacy up when she came to Washington for the Women's March as well.
So, what? Okay.
Stacy crashed at Gail's house when she came to Washington for the march.
Yeah, I've crashed at her house a few times too. Well, listen, Steve, I didn't know that my album Roses in the Snow was the inspiration for Train to Come In, which is a record I love. But anyway, we had decided, a few of us got together and thought we would do this song from Roses in the Snow. And this is a song that Ricky Skaggs taught me. It's a song that the Stanley Brothers first did. We're going to girly it up. But I think Larry is going to put that great bass voice on it. Anyway, this is, you're going to hear this version for the very first time. I hope I remember. I sing it all the time. And then I realize that I've got the over 70 disease. And sometimes you forget.
When I forget something, I always just say it's on my other hard drive.
Lady.
about Steve's hard drive joke. This song is called We the Common for Valerie Bolden. And Valerie Bolden was the first person I met on my first visit ever inside a prison. I worked over the years volunteering with a prison advocacy group and the California Coalition for Women Prisoners. And we advocate on behalf of incarcerated people in California State Prison. And Valerie, her love for her children was the first, was what struck me so much, and it is the seed of this song. The song is also an opportunity to celebrate and rally on behalf of other people. And it's just a good opportunity to remember what music can do and what collective energy can do and what the, what hollering and saying ooh ooh can do. So please feel free to join us.
If I got my eyes, will you come to me? Oh, love, won't you bite my eye? I miss the city you got in me. Back for a skeleton dry. All they wanted was a villain, and all they had was me. All they wanted was a villain, so then they just took me.
So this is called the Lantern Tour, and what that evokes to me is kind of shining the light on truth. You know, I mean, I think that's as musicians and songwriters and people who have the privilege of conveying what they're feeling out there in the world, I think we're all trying to grasp for shining a light on what's true, at least true to us, you know. And this being the Lantern Tour, I think we're going to do a song that Reverend Gary Davis wrote that is all about shining a light.
Thank you.
chose this song because as the nights have been going on, Steve's playing harp and Emily's playing tambourine and everybody's getting in on us. I thought this might be a fun tune just to rock out a little bit. This is called Sweet Mama. Till Waking Light. I actually wrote it a few years ago, and I can say I have recorded a few months ago. I was like, I haven't recorded, but I have. Actually, the last month, because I've been recording my new album, so it will come out next year. Finally! Yeah. And it's a song that is just very important to me. I wrote it about just the very dangerous journey that migrant families have to make to get to some safety, to some shelter. And you know, it's just something that we just keep reading about, and you know, I don't know, it has deeply affected me, especially because I come from Guatemala, and a lot of people are coming from Central America from Guatemala, and I think just at the end of the day, this is just an issue of humanity. You know, it's just we just want all of these people who like have no choice. They leave everything behind, everything they know. Just imagine for a second, you know, like that. You just have no choice. Like, how desperate must you be to put your family in danger, your little children? So, this is just kind of my song. It's just my plea to treat all of these people with the respect and dignity that they deserve. We all deserve it. We're all human.
Wandering in the darkness, neath the moonlight, still in harvest, shining down. Weary souls are searching for a shelter somewhere far from broken. We don't know what's coming or what lies beyond the bed, holding to each other while we can, till we can lie. Whispers gently while the roaring of the engine shakes our hearts. Deep despair and silence break faith, we'll never find us apart.
Till we can love.
New York City for the last 17 years, and I moved there on purpose after living for a lot of reasons. Some of it was, you know, I just needed to. I've been in Texas and Tennessee even longer than I was in Texas, and then I just needed to, at that point in my life, to be able to open my door, walk out the street, and see a mixed race, same sex couple walking down the street, holding hands, as white and heterosexual as I am. It just made me feel safe. That's the reason. That point in history. But, oh yeah, I gotta go over here. There we go. This is there some culture shock involved when you moved to New York City after, you know, living in Texas and Tennessee? I've been going to New York for a long time and I love it. This is, you're probably asking yourself what this is. This is, some people call it a bazooki. I call it that unless I'm going through security in an airport. In which case you don't want to say, here's my bazooki, especially with this fucking beard. Then you call it an octave mandolin. Bazooki's a Greek name for a Greek instrument, but the way that I play it tend to has a lot more to do with Ireland than the Irish will play any instrument that washes up in their shirt better than the people that invented it. And it's an immigrant instrument, so therefore it's the perfect instrument for accompanying us as we sing this song. Now, one of the biggest cultural revelations about living in New York is the whole existence of the New York Deli Grocery. I mean, I grew up in Texas, we have fucking 7-Eleven, you know, it's not the same thing. And by the way, they're everywhere in these cities on the East. There's no reason for there to be a 7-Eleven in any city, anywhere on the East Coast. It's just not actually exists. It's a convenience store. It has a convenience store staff. It's open 24 hours. But you can get fresh groceries. You can get, like, you know, an onion if you need one in the middle of the night. You can cook it. I cook in the middle of the night. It happens. And, and fresh flowers, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What a convenience. I need them when I'm single. I need them when I'm married. It's like, you know, right there on my block, you know, on the way home. It's perfect. And, the deli in my neighborhood, that, you know, Italian immigrants invented the deli grocery in New York City. And pretty much in my neighborhood, I live in Greenwich Village. And but by the time I got to New York, most of the delis are owned by people that immigrated from Korea, including the one on my block. And it belongs to a gentleman named Mr. Kim. And I've kind of gotten to know him fairly well and watched his kids kind of grow up. And he's a pretty impressive cat to me. For one thing, he speaks Korean, which sounds like a tough fucking language to me. And he speaks English better than I do. And his kids speak English better than both of us. And and what's really impressive is, I witnessed this, in his 50s, Mr. Kim found it necessary to learn to speak a third language. And that language is Spanish, because most of his employees are people that have immigrated from Mexico and Central America. And I think that the next generation of grocers, and in fact, I've seen this happen a couple of times, are going to be people from Central America and Mexico. So, and that will be great when I'm making a mole in the middle of the night. So I can't wait for that transformation to be complete. Another thing that I discovered that happened, it's kind of going away because the rents are so high, but it used to be, and if you own a business and you don't have anybody to pass that business along to, one of your employees might buy it from you and make payments to you, and that becomes your pension. And I've seen that happen with several businesses in my neighborhood. It's definitely what Mr. Kim's going to have to do, because one kid went to MIT, one went to Harvard. They're not coming back to run the fucking grocery. So, you see, that's America. That's who we are. This is Mr. Kim. Living in the city of immigrants, I don't need to go tap the land. Open a door in a world walks in. Living in the city of immigrants. Living in the city that never sleeps. I keep the time to 1,000 feet. Singing in languages I don't speak. Living in the city of immigrants. City of black.
And bringing, you know, things that people need to know about in your songs and in your activities and being involved in like the Lantern Tour and everything. You are my hero, Steve, and I'm proud to know you. So that's what I want to say.
I feel so privileged to be able to get to do this thing, and I've been doing these. To go out and see people that we love, and we're people that get to do something that we really love for a living, and not everybody gets to do that. And this is just our way of keeping from going to hell. So this song, as we've been closing these shows with it all along, it's called Pilgrim. I wrote it a long time ago for a friend of ours' funeral, a guy named Roy Husky Jr., who was the best doghouse bass player Nashville ever saw. And I wrote it the morning of the funeral, because I didn't have anything else I felt like I wanted to sing, and I taped it to a lectern and I sang it for the first time that day. But over the years, we've repurposed it for this, because it seems to make sense in a way, because pilgrim is somebody that's traveling in search of something. And this tour is about people that are traveling, because that's what human beings do for us. We travel looking for a way to take care of our families, and mainly we're just looking for a home. And truth is, no matter who you are, where you come from, what language you speak, what you do or don't call God, everybody has a right to a home.
Amen.
I'm just a pilgrim on this road, boys. I'm just a pilgrim on this road, boys. I'm just a pilgrim on this road, boys. This ain't never been my home. Sometimes the road is rocky on the way, boys. Sometimes the road was rocking on the way, boys. Sometimes the road was rocking on the way, boys. I was never traveling alone. We meet again on Sunrise Highway. Songs to sing, to tell. I'm just a pilgrim on this road, boys, till I see bad weather.
Come on, sir.
till I see it there.